Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Praise the name of the Lord. Well, if you would open your Bibles, how many have your Bibles? It's a pretty good book. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, go to... let's go to the book of Acts first. Book of Acts. Chapter 18. And then we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians and read where Paul wrote about the situation. But there's some things I want you to notice here. Please understand this, folks. The Holy Spirit does not put anything in the Word of God He doesn't want you to notice. Okay? I challenge you to pay attention more to what you're reading. Because there are things in your text that the Spirit of God put in there that He wants you to notice. Chapter 18 says, "After these things we left Athens," using Greece, "and he went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife, Priscilla. Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, he came to them, and because he was of the same trade," he knew how to make tents just like they did, "and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers, and he was reasoning in the synagogues every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down in Macedonia, Paul devoted himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook off his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be on your own head. I am clean. From now on, I'm going to the Gentiles.' And then he left there and went to the house of a man named Thaddeus Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next to the synagogue. And Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, which with all of his household and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, they believed and were baptized." So it goes on to say, "And when the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Do not be afraid.'" That's really not what it says. It really says in the Greek New Testament, it says, "Stop being afraid." So isn't it nice to know that the great apostle still had to deal with issues of fear? The Spirit of the Lord showed up and said, "Stop being afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, because what?
I am with you."
I am with you. Everybody say that. I am with you.
I am with you.
I want you to remember that. "And no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." I have many people in this city. So Paul dealt with fear. And the Lord said, "Don't be afraid. Stop being afraid. I have many people in this city." So you read on further and you see that the people were upset and they tried to get the government leaders, officials' attention. They dragged a man out who was the leader of the synagogue at that point, and they beat him up, trying to at least get the officials to do something. And in 17, verse 17, it says, "And they all took hold of Sosthenes, the leader of the synagogue, and began beating him in front of the judgment seat. But Gallio was not concerned about any of these things. So now go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice what he says here in verse 1. Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother. So how many know he got to know the leader of the synagogue, and the leader of the synagogue became a believer? Whether it was before or after he got beat up, the fact is he became one. And it says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been set apart in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. Everybody say, I'm a saint by calling. You're no longer a forgiven person. You know, let me just say this, okay? It's really ridiculous for Christians to run around with bumper stickers, I'm forgiven. Let me tell you why. Because a dead guy is no longer exists. What's there to forgive if somebody's dead? He's not there anymore. He doesn't exist anymore. The Word says when you became a new creation, old things passed away. Now, when we say that people have passed away, do we expect them to come back? Are they still here in the physical realm? No. So, but why do we act like the fact that as a Christian, we say that old things have passed away, but we talk about us like we're still here? So we talk about us as if we're, you know, we're forgiven. You're not forgiven. The new creation, you're a saint by calling. The old guy doesn't exist. And it's important for you to understand that because, see, Paul's trying to get over to us to understand that when you became a new creation, when you were a natural man, and you heard the gospel, and the Spirit of God opened the eyes of your understanding and gave you revelation that Jesus really is who he says he is. That he is the Son of God, that he was raised from the dead, that he paid the price for you, that he paid the lien that was against the entire human race and set it aside. And then when Father raised him up and said, it's done, it's a done deal, the Word says in Ephesians that when he raised up Jesus, and he also said it in Romans, he raised up the entire human race with him. The only difference between you and somebody else is you, the Spirit of the Lord gave you a revelation of that and you took ownership of it and somebody else hasn't. That's the difference. But Jesus did what he did. The Father did what he did for every human being that was, is, or will be. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says he thinks so much of us that he raised us up and seated us together in heavenly places in Christ. And we're seated right next to Jesus. As far as Father is concerned, when he sees you, he sees Jesus. Now, if people want to hold on to their worminess and hold on to their sorriness and hold on to their unrighteousness, then that's your business. But that isn't the way the Father sees you. And frankly, it's kind of a waste of time. You know, really, what it is it makes us feel better when we feel bad about ourselves, so we can some kind of way, in a twisted way, make Jesus look better. Jesus doesn't need to look better by us continually thinking and seeing ourselves as something less than what he created us to be. Amen. He's already great, right? He's already awesome. He's already the coolest dude there is. He doesn't need any help looking any cooler because he already is. So we might as well just take ownership of what he said. If by the Spirit of God, Paul says you're saints by calling, then we ought to be saying the same thing. The word saints there in the Greek New Testament literally means holy. You're holy. And so he's going on here, and we talked about this in the last few weeks. You know, we're dealing with the subject of the kingdom of God. He brings some things out in this letter to the Corinthians, and unfortunately, you know, when most folks read the book of 1 Corinthians, all they read is the natural subjects like idolatry and marriage and things like that that are natural things. And, there, you know, I guess there's something wrong with, you're making sure we're thinking accurately according to the Word of God as far as marriage goes and you know, idolatry and the communion table and those kinds of things. But he's really dealing with something else. He's dealing with the fact that these folks have the wrong, they've connected to the wrong individual to get their identity. He says that, you know, look, he says, you're saints by calling in verse 2. You've been set apart in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, and I thank my God always concerning you for the grace or the working of his power because of his presence that's been given to you in Christ, that in everything you are enriched in him. Everybody say, I'm enriched in him. See, this is important for us to understand because he's getting ready to talk about this very thing in the next couple of chapters. But unfortunately, we get so used to reading verse by verse or chapter by chapter, we sometimes lose the train of thought that what he's actually trying to get over to us by breaking our train of thought and saying, okay, he changed subjects, when in fact he really didn't do that. But the biggest challenge is, and we've said this before, the biggest challenge is the reason we misread so many verses is because we have been trained by a religious system that the grace of God is simply a sentiment that God has towards you, that he chose to have towards you, when he really could have had another perspective about you. Instead of realizing that the grace of God, like Paul understood, was in Christ, and it was literally an empowerment because of his presence that was with him. You remember you read back in Acts chapter 18, it says, the presence of the Lord. I mean, if we had time, I could go back and show you all the way back over to chapter 2, chapter 3 of the book of Acts. Really, the gospel is the reuniting of the presence of the Lord in the presence of man. Peter called it, it's the promise that he made to your forefathers when he was speaking to the Jews. So we're not dealing with a religious, theological way of thinking. We're not dealing with a religious, well, this is just the way I believe. It's a complete waste of time for human beings to get wrapped into religious systems, because all they do is they steer you away from and tell you what daddy doesn't do. When in fact, what Paul realized when he came out of a religious system into this new life, as the angels talked about it in the book of Acts, they sprung Peter out of jail and said, go tell the people about this new life. That it's more than just a theological way of thinking. Frankly, I'm pretty much done with that. I grew up with that my whole life. And see, what that does is that creates division between people, because you grow up and you develop, well, this is what I believe. Well, this is what I believe. Well, this is what I believe. I don't care what anybody believes. What I care about is what the Spirit of God says is so. Because that's the only thing that produces the presence of God in your life. He's going to authenticate and back and validate anything that is the truth that he says in that book. So we should just spend time with him, spend time in the Word, let him change some things, change some perspectives, let him show you some things in his Word, and let him be the one that dictates what you think this book says. Even the things that we teach, you know, on a Sunday morning. You know, what you're supposed to do with those things is, I'm just simply giving you the frame of the picture. Giving you the parameters of what this thing is saying. Your job is to go home and spend enough time with Jesus on a daily basis to let him fill in the pixels. Is that the right word? Of the picture. And cause it to become high definition. Right? That's what he wants to do. So, we're going to find that the things that Paul is speaking of here, it's really quite amazing, because he's talking about, he says in verse 4, he says, look, there's a grace of God that was given to you when you became in Christ. When you came out of the world as a natural human being and you came over here as a new creation. You're a new man. You're a new human being. You're a supernatural human being. He says there's a grace that's in you. There's an empowerment that's in you. There's a working of his power because of his presence is in you. That you need to understand, because that's there, you've been enriched in all things. And he says, in all speech and all knowledge. In all speech and all knowledge. So you got to remember that phrase by the time you get to chapter 2, because he starts talking about it. And if we lose track of our train of thought, we forget what he's saying. So as a new creation, you have been empowered. In fact, he says, you come behind in no gift. You come behind in no gift. I don't care what you think when you look in the mirror. You come behind in no gift. Because you're a supernatural human being, and you've been enriched in all speech and all knowledge. Now he brings clarity to what he's meaning in the second chapter. Go over to let's go to chapter 2. He says, when I came to you, brethren, we just read about when he came to them in Acts chapter 18. So he's getting ready to talk about it. He says, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined, now get this, so we read right past this, we don't realize, you got to read Acts 18. Because what did he talk about in Acts 18? What did Luke talk about? Luke talked about the fact that the presence of the Lord came to him and said, stop being afraid. And it says, he says, when I came to you, I determined to, I wasn't going to talk to you in superiority of speech or wisdom. In other words, he's saying, what is he saying? I didn't come to you and I didn't rattle off all the things that I learned in theological seminary. That I have backed up in my mind. The mind is a great thing. Unless you learn to lean on it. And you're not learning to lean on going in your spirit and getting things from the Spirit of God. From your mind. Or to your mind. So, he says, I didn't come to you in superiority of wisdom or knowledge. When I proclaim to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. See, we go straight to the end, Him crucified, and we don't realize what He just said. When I came to you, I was determined to know nothing except Him. Two things. I was determined that I was going to know nothing. I was going to be aware of nothing. I was going to lean on nothing except Him. Because the presence of the Lord was with Him everywhere He went. Because the presence of the Lord was in Him. Right? He says, so I determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ. We saw where in Acts 18 where it said the presence of the Lord talk to Him. Was that just like a one-time occasion, or was that an all-time thing for Paul? Did Paul fellowship with the Spirit of God, with the presence of the Lord all the time? Well, yeah, he did. In fact, if you go back and you look at Acts chapter 1, he says that's the very thing that this new creation is all about. He says not only in verse 4 have you been given a grace that was given to you when you were in Christ, but he also talks about in verse 8, he says, God's faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son. That's not a theological concept. That's a reality all the time. As you're walking, you're living life, you're in fellowship with His Son all the time. Paul made that a reality in his life. So that's what he said. When he came, he said, when I came to you, I determined to know nothing except Him. And Him crucified. Now what does that mean? Well, we talked about it when it came down to, we took communion this morning. He deals with that issue of communion in chapter 11. And he says, look, when you do communion, you're calling at the Lord's table, but you're not even realizing what's going on. You know, you all get together and you chow down on the elements, and you're not even realizing that what you're supposed to be understanding there is when Christ died, you died. So you don't exist. So why do you keep feeding the dude that's not supposed to be alive? Why do you keep giving in to the demands and the desires and the pressures of a guy that's not even supposed to be alive in the way you conduct yourself and in the way you treat everybody else? You're not realizing that the very elements of the communion table, when you partake of those, you become a partaker of not just the physical element, but you become a partaker of the spiritual reality that is behind that, just like the heathens do or the Gentiles do when they partook of the sacrifices at the altar in their temples. They didn't go in there just to have a good steak dinner. They understood that when they were partaking of the elements of the ritual at the altar, they understood that they were doing that because they wanted to partake of the spiritual reality that was behind that sacrifice. He said, the meat is nothing. God created everything. He said, but the powers that are behind that, they became a partaker of that. And likewise, he says, you are the same thing when it comes to partaking of the communion elements. It's not just, you know, well, they didn't use grape juice, but it was a little different than ours. But it's not just the physical elements. It's the spiritual reality that those things represent. So when he talked about, you know, you don't realize that Christ has been crucified, and you're guilty of the body and the blood of the Lamb, he's not saying that you're supposed to sit there and focus on all your guilt and all your, you know, wrongdoings before you take communion. What he's saying is, you're supposed to realize that when you have the bread, Christ said, this is my body which is broken for you. And he says, as long as you do this, you're proclaiming the Lord's death. As long as you're proclaiming the Lord's death, you're proclaiming your own death. Because their whole situation, they were gravitating towards people. Well, I follow Paul. Well, I follow Apollos. Well, I follow Peter. I follow Jesus. I follow so-and-so and so-and-so. And it wasn't just an issue of, you know, they liked a certain guy. You know, there's a certain preacher on TV they like to watch, and they learn a lot of stuff from him. That's not, these guys went far beyond that. They were into the fact that there was backbiting, there was strife, and there was bitterness and anger between each other because they're not that camp. So it was a little bit different than, you know, folks nowadays just saying, well, I like to listen to so-and-so or, you know, him or her or whatever. We're not dealing with that issue. Okay? He's saying, look, you guys are completely connected to the wrong source. There's only one head in the body, and that's not me. Because the head of the body is Jesus, and from him comes that empowerment that is the grace of God that you got when you became a new creation. He is your head. He is the source. And if you understand that it's not just an issue of having a theological belief system, it's actually an empowerment. When you became a new creation, the presence of God came inside of the presence of you and was fused together. And with that union, he's saying you come behind in no giftings, that you are enriched in everything that you know, and any possibility of you knowing anything, you're enriched in possibilities of what you know, not just theologically, but from the Spirit of God, and what you say, because you're no longer limited to just what's in your head. You can learn to speak out of your spirit. You can learn to speak things that come from your spirit, from the Spirit of God, into the environment that you live in. Does that make sense? So, he says, I came to you, I decided I wasn't going to know anything but Christ, the presence of Christ and him crucified. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear. We saw that, Acts 18. He says, and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in, what's the next word? What is it? Say it one more time.
Demonstration.
In demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I want to submit to you that that is what the grace of God is. That's what it is. Don't worry if you don't understand that. There's plenty more times I'll speak on it. So it's everywhere in the entire New Testament. You can't get away from it. So it won't be the last time we mention it, but that's what the grace of God is. See, Paul understood that. And so he taught, and the things that he explained from the Spirit of God were from that understanding, because that's what it is. Now, I want you to see something here. He says, it's in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And then he says, you know, we're speaking of wisdom among those that are mature. Wisdom, however, not of this age. In other words, it didn't come from the natural mind. And it's not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who were passing away, but we're speaking God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages for our glory. Everybody say, for my glory. Can you say being enriched in knowledge? That's what he's talking about. That's why he said you're enriched in knowledge and all speech and all knowledge, because the knowledge that you have obtained as a new creation out of your spirit, because it's a union of his spirit with your spirit, what you have the possibility to know is unlimited because he knows everything. He said, so that, you know, when we came to you, the wisdom when we spoke, we didn't speak it from, you know, coming from some natural source in the earth. We spoke it as coming from the Spirit of God. And it was predestined that we know and have this connection, really, from the ages for our glory. He said, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age had understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, and I want you to see this, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard. He's quoting an Old Testament verse in Isaiah. Things which eye has not heard. Excuse me, eyes don't hear, do they? Just testing. You guys didn't catch that. Things which eyes have not seen and ears have not heard and which has not entered the heart of man. Everybody say it has not entered the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love him. And he goes on to say, for to us he revealed, everybody say being enriched in knowledge, he revealed through the Spirit, because the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God, for who among men know the thoughts of a man except the spirit of that man? Likewise, who knows the thoughts of God except for the one, you know, the Spirit of God? Verse 12, we have received not the spirit that is of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know what? The things that are freely given to us by God. I want to show some things to you about this. Because I said a long time ago to the Lord, you know, Lord, there's got to be another way to communicate what you've done to human beings. We've worn out the Roman road, the four spiritual laws, whatever else there is. We just flat wore them out. And I said, there's more verses in this book than those. Why is it those are the only ones we use? And the reality is, the reason why those are the ones that we use is because we're building a house on a foundation that's the wrong one. The reason those things are used is because the foundation that everyone has built on is a foundation of man is a sinner and he's a sorry worm. And you better get saved or you're going straight to hell. When in reality, that is not even how Daddy thinks. Daddy thinks human beings are the most remarkable, worthwhile investment that there is. Jesus, in parables, in the Gospels, he called human beings pearls of great price. Treasures that have been discovered. So if we built our, quote, gospel presentation on the foundation that didn't even come from the Spirit of God, what would happen if we got onto the foundation that is from the Spirit of God? And really the reality that Paul was talking about here, and the fact that as a new creation, you've been enriched in all things. Because of what Jesus did, a human being is enriched in all things and all knowledge, his capacity to know what Daddy knows. any place, anytime, anywhere. And in all speech, his ability to speak what not only comes, not just what comes out of his own head, but what is given to him on a moment-by-moment basis by the Spirit of God. And look, folks, can I just be honest with you? I know this kind of thing makes people uncomfortable. I know it does. Because here's what we do. We read all these things and we immediately go to our own life experience and we go, this is not true. Because I don't flow like that. I don't get those things like that. I don't hear the Spirit of God. I don't feel like I'm enriched in all knowledge and all speech. So let me ask you, would you rather me teach what the Word is actually communicating so that, you know, according to the Word of God, faith comes by hearing an anointed word from the Spirit of God and hearing an anointed word from the Spirit of God? Or should we just settle into what we all experience in life and just go with that? The reason why the Spirit of God is doing this and the reason he's having us learn these things is because he's trying to bring the body of Christ back into being connected to the spine. Because the spine delivers all the messages from the head. And I understand that these kind of things can make people feel uncomfortable because we feel like, well, you know, I'm not developed in these. I don't even know. This doesn't even work in my life. Shut up with that stuff. Who cares? It doesn't matter. The fact is, when you know what the parameters are and you know what the possibilities are, now you can start believing God to move you and develop you in those areas. Versus just staying in your own little comfort zone and saying, well, he just doesn't use me that way. I'll never do this, I promise. But a spirit of slap wants to get all over me when I hear people say, well, he just doesn't use me like that. Because the reality is, it's not that he doesn't use you like that. The reality is you have not known that he has a desire to use you that way because somebody told you or some theological understanding told you that he doesn't use you that way, and it's just not so. Because Paul didn't say you're enriched in some knowledge and in some speech. He said you're enriched in all knowledge and all speech, and you come behind in no gifts. Right? Everybody say, I come behind in no gifts. So the exciting thing about what the Spirit of God is doing in the body of Christ is he's bringing people into a place of forget about what the theological training that told you, you don't do this, you can't do that, or that's not for you. You need to understand that if you're connected in the body and you're connected to the head, that everything the head knows, you know. And here's what I want you to see. This is so amazing. Back to my conversation with the Lord. I said, there's so many more scriptures in this Bible that we could more accurately explain and demonstrate. Because remember, Paul didn't say that I come to you with an explanation. Right? He said, I came to you not in words, but in demonstration. I want you to say this right now. I want to blow this thing out of the door. I'm so tired of this thing, just staring people in the face. I want you to say this. The Spirit of God will demonstrate himself through me. Say it again. The Spirit of God will demonstrate himself through me. Now say it this way. The Spirit of God always demonstrates himself through me. Okay, well, now we're on the same page. Notice what he says here. The Spirit of the Lord showed me this and it just rocked me. Because this is the way that he wants to communicate what Jesus did for human beings. Notice what he says here. He says in chapter 2 of verse... Let's go to verse 5. He says, Well, the first four says, my message to you was in the preaching, not in persuasive words or wisdom, but he said, demonstrating the Spirit of God and power, so that your faith would rest not on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. For we speak a wisdom among those that are mature. It's a wisdom that didn't come from men. It didn't come from natural ways of thinking. He says, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined according to before in the ages for our glory. And if he jumped down, he says this in verse 9, he says, but just as it's written, things which eye has not seen, natural eye and natural ear has not seen or heard, and that which has not entered the heart of man. And he says, he gave us the Spirit of God for the reason that we would always know what Daddy so freely wants to be flowing to us all the time. He wants human beings to know. Get this, folks. Please get this. His desire is for a human being. Paul is saying there are things in a natural man, there are things that are coming from the Spirit of God that are not entering into the heart of a natural man, that he wants to be entering into the heart of that man, because that is the way that he communicates what he's so freely given to men, because how much he loves them. But the old model, there's no connection there. I'll tell you, this last week, I just want to drop kick computers and I'm putting together a network in the house, right? So I got a router in one room, and I got a extender bridge in the middle, and then I got another extender all in the other end of the house that has basically zero internet signal whenever I don't have the bridge in there. Okay, so I'm trying to put this whole thing together. And you got to do it in a certain way, and you got to set up all the passwords in a certain way so they all actually see each other, so that by the time you get to the very end, you can actually have a signal in the farthest end of the house. So I got all this done, and I'm like, and I actually did it. I was like, wow, I actually got this thing to work. And so I'm happy. I'm like, this is awesome. We got internet service in the whole entire house. It's awesome. And then the next day, because I tried it too, and it worked. But then the next day, the devil showed up. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden now I got no internet service from the middle of the house back to the other end of the house. Nothing. So I can go into this end of the house, and in the nearest end of the house where the router is, I can go into that end of the house, and I got perfect internet service, no problem at all. But the middle extender and the farthest extender, all of a sudden they don't have any kind of, nothing's entering into them. Folks, this is the very thing. Get this. Human beings were created to always be receiving a signal from God. They were created to be receiving that. But Paul says, a natural man, there are things that are not entering into his heart that Daddy wants to be entering into his heart, but he can't. Let me just show you this. How much time I got? Let me show you this. So the demonstration of the gospel, I want you to get this picture. The demonstration of the gospel is what? The demonstration of the gospel is demonstrating the new creation man, demonstrating the connection that they have. The demonstration of the Spirit. The things that they're getting in knowledge, and the things that they're getting in speech, demonstrating that connection, the things that are entering into their hearts that are for people around them, versus to the natural men, who there are things that always Father wants to be entering into their heart, but it's not entering. They don't even know it's not entering. They don't even realize. I mean, you remember Jesus said this in Matthew 4:4. He says, man will not live by natural sustenance alone, but he'll live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is a network that is always on. And man is created to always live connected to that network, to constantly be getting those downloads, constantly all the time into his heart, into his heart, into his heart. That's the way man was created. But natural man, because of the severing and the nature change, there's things that the daddy wants to have entering into their heart and they're not going in. So the new creation man comes along who's made Jesus the Lord of their life, and the Spirit of God's given them a new nature. He came, moved in on the inside of them. It's his presence fused with theirs. He's moved in, and now he's the bridge from the network that transfers everything that's coming from the network into the new creation man. And the gospel is literally a demonstration of those things that are coming from daddy's heart into your heart by his spirit and out into the environment you live in. Demonstrating to the one who is supposed to be receiving those exact same things into his heart, but he doesn't have a connection. So they're not entering his heart. When the reality is, if you're a human being, your very DNA, the way God made a human being, he made you to always be connected with him. See, we've been trained by a system that the way we get people to come into the kingdom is we try to convince them, we try to persuade them, we try to lead their thought processes so we can get them to make a decision. Folks, I've been in enough sales classes, that's what they do. I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm just saying that's the way the natural mental system works. And because we haven't realized that what the reality of what this new this gospel, this covenant, this new covenant, this what Jesus actually did, without realizing that what the real issue is understanding that in Christ you've been given, there's a grace in you. It's his presence. There's an empowerment in you. It's because of his presence. And if we learn to live in that connection, we learn to receive the enrichment of all knowledge that he knows and everything that he says in our speech. We're not just limited to what we study. We're not just limited to what we learn theologically. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you're talking to somebody and you get so frustrated because you're like, well, I didn't know what to say? You know why? Because you're going through the Rolodex of your head. What can I say here? I can't find nothing. They're talking and you're thumbing through the Rolodex of your head. I've heard some message. Somebody said something. And so much of what we've done, I'm not saying everything, folks, but so don't throw the baby out of the bathwater. So much of what we do so many times in our, quote, counseling to other people is simply regurgitating what we put in our own heads. That we heard in a message, we heard somebody else or somebody else said to us. And it's completely void of learning how to go into your spirit. Holy Spirit, what's going on here? Forget about what you're seeing and what you're hearing. Holy Spirit, what's going on here? And let him give you information. It's called, in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, it's called word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. You thought that was just a random subject that Paul talked about in chapter 12, but it all had to do with everything he's been talking about since chapter 1, verse 2, verse 3. That is how you are set apart. That's the word says you're sanctified. Being sanctified means you're set apart. How are we set apart? We get better information. Because we're enriched in all knowledge and all speech, but that's supposed to be for every human being that's breathing. The gospel is supposed to be a hands-on demonstration of what Jesus did for human beings and how the new model functions. And that's the way you're supposed to function. I won't go through all the verses, but let me just give you a few. Look at I told you Matthew 4:4, man will not live. You notice he didn't say a Christian. He said man's not to live by bread alone, natural sustenance alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Everything that is spoken from the mouth of God is how man is supposed to live on. That's not print, folks. The print came from that. But that's every day, any type, any place, anywhere. Notice Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says this. You don't have to turn it, I'll just read it to you. It says that the spirit of man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. How is God wanting to lead and direct human beings? Out of their spirit. That's the lamp. It's the lamp. It's how he wants to direct you. He wants to lead you that way. The spirit of the Lord, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It's the lamp of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2 says that every human being, he wants to put his spirit in every human being so that every human being would know those things that are freely given to him by God. Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now, herein lies the challenge with some folks. Because they look at Jesus and they say, well, Jesus was God, that's why he lived the way he did. Isn't it interesting that at every turn, there's an effort to mask the reality of the truth that was being demonstrated right before your very eyes? From misunderstanding and misinterpreting what grace is to the understanding and theology that Jesus was God, and that's when he came into the earth, he came in as God and he did everything as God. That's why he knew things, because he was God. That's why he did things that he did, because he was God. And the reality is, the word clearly says that when he came into the earth, he laid aside his deity and became in the form of a man, and he lived as a man with the presence of God in him and on him, the Spirit of God in him and on him. Okay. He was in the earth, he was the prototype of what a human being was supposed to look like, function like, and see things like. Do you got that? John chapter 5. Look at verse 20. I'm telling you folks, this is the greatest evangelism conversation that I've ever seen in my life. Because human beings don't know this. Now, we all know John 3:16, right? Yep. Right? For God so loved the world. Notice it didn't say the Christians. Right? For God so loved the world. Let me ask you a question. Who's included in that world? Just Christians or everybody else? Everybody. It's a conglomerate group. Everybody. Every human being that ever was, is, or will be. Right? Now, what did I say in 1 Corinthians? There are things that Daddy so desires to be entering into the heart of human beings, but it's not entering. And that's a problem. Because then they're disconnected and they're not knowing those things that have been freely given to them as human beings. Well, you need to give me some scripture on that one. Okay. God so loved thee. Look at John chapter 5, verse 20. Truly I say, this is verse 19. Jesus said, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something that he... I'm going to read it to you the way the Greek New Testament says. He can do nothing of himself unless it's something that he is seeing, constantly seeing on an ongoing basis, that the Father is always doing. for whatever the Father is always doing. Can you say the network is always up? These things the Son also is doing. In like manner, he says in verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he does. What would happen if we began to communicate to people? First of all, we understand that this is the system, this is the way the tracks lay, and this is the way Father wants to conduct himself in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Okay, because you're the new model. And then when you begin to communicate to people, because you're giving them what the Spirit of God's giving them, and they're like, how did you know that? You begin to communicate to them, God so loved you that he wants you to always be knowing constantly what he's doing all the time. And the reason that you don't know always what he's doing constantly all the time is because the things that he's doing always, all the time, constantly, they're not entering into your heart, but they're supposed to be, because that's supposed to be the DNA or the structure, the schematics of the way a human being is built. Okay. Dan, that was totally awesome. I thought so too. I was totally blown away. Thanks for saying so. Do you understand that, you know, this is massive, folks. Do you understand that, see, we've so settled with just persuasive words that we have not realized that the key to reaching human beings is right before our very eyes. If we just see, we demonstrate the Spirit and power. If you communicate, and I got so many other verses, but I can't talk to him today because there's not enough time, but I'll get into it next week. But he just started showing me verse after verse after verse after verse after verse after verse on the way human beings are. See, we've never dealt with human beings the way they're supposed to be. We've always dealt with them in the way they are. But the gospel is not about dealing with people the way they are. The gospel is about dealing with them the way God made them. It's about dealing with them the way Jesus made them. So if we start communicating and demonstrating what really is according to the new creation, according to what Jesus did because of the resurrection, if we start demonstrating those things, and then we start communicating to people what they really are or what they're really supposed to be, they'll jump on it. Because there's a void in human beings. They know my Spirit is just empty. There's more than this. There's got to be more than this. And then 1 Corinthians 14 talks about the prophetic. We didn't get too much into that today, but I laid a good foundation for next week. That when a human being comes into an environment where people have developed how to bring the exhortation and comfort and encouragement that comes from the Spirit of God because of his massive love and passion for them into the environment that they are. And we begin to say things that the Spirit of God is giving us in our spirit. It draws them into a place of falling on the floor in a heap and saying, man, God is with you guys. I want that. Why? Because man has never been created to not have God inside. We've got to start talking to people from the framework of what Jesus has already done and who they are in him, and stop trying to hammer everything that's not right with them because of where they are right now. There are things that Daddy has been constantly trying to get into the hearts of men from the time they've been put on this planet. He wants them to know how good he is all the time, any place, anywhere, any moment. And the signal and the information is just not going in. Because they're not on the right IP address. Did you guys get any of this at all? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Well, just go ahead and stand up. Just put your hands to heaven. Just say this after me. Father. Daddy. I love you. You are the joy of my life. And I so look forward to and love the fellowship of your Spirit in my life. Thank you for moving me from just theologically knowing things to being enriched in all knowledge and all speech. And I thank you from this point on for the rest of my life. I'll never go back. To being limited in the gifts that you've given. Thank you for the operation of the word of knowledge. Thank you for the operation of the word of wisdom. Thank you for the operation of the gift of faith. Gifts of healings. Working of miracles. The operation of the prophetic. The uncovering of your mind into mine. And thank you for the operation of being able to speak out of my spirit. Your word calls that tongues. And also the interpretation to know in my understanding what those things that are coming out of my spirit in the language that my spirit speaks. Father, I just thank you for that. Thank you for setting us on the right path and setting us in the midst of your love and your passion. And we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear, because that's the way our family does things. And that's the way that human beings are created to function. So, Father, we take ownership of those things. We thank you for that. We thank you for your love and your patience and everything else that you've done for us in developing us in these areas to give the blessing that is Jesus to the human race. Come and get that person. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.